Good morning, everyone. As we prayed, and as maybe most of you are aware, Patty and Sarah and Lily Hipley and Christy and Carter Holman will be leaving on a missions trip on Saturday to the Dominican Republic, and we're going to pray for them at the conclusion of today's service. Anybody here been on a missions trip before? Good. How many would like to go on a missions trip? A lot of you. Awesome. Well, the word missionary just means one who goes and who loves in the name of Jesus and who shares the word of God. And that's what this group is going to be doing, but we've got an outreach coming up July 23rd through the 29th. And I want to encourage all of us that we would look at it with eyes like missionaries. That we would go into this with an attitude of, we're going to go someplace, and we're going to do something for the Lord. Just as the Hipleys and the Holmans and the rest of this team have been praying and preparing and thinking about how they can impact these people in the Dominican Republic, I want to encourage us as a church family to be praying about and thinking about what God would have us to do in reaching our communities around us, that we would look at this as a missionary opportunity. And all of this is about helping us to have a lifestyle of doing this. So I share that with you this morning, that would be our attitude going into this. So be praying for that. Be thinking about that. Be thinking about what God wants you to do that week or what he wants your family to do. Or maybe you know of a group of coworkers or another group that there's an opportunity to share the gospel with. And if you don't want to do that, let us know. And myself and others would be glad to do that. Let's look at this as an opportunity to try to reach the communities around us as the Lord wants us to. All right. As we go into today's message, most of us growing up had expectations that our parents placed upon us as their children. And I want to share with you this morning some of the expectations placed upon me when I was a child in our home. And Mom, it's going to be good. Don't worry. Some of the things I'll share are probably similar to the expectations your parents had when you were growing up in your home. Some will be unique because our parents are unique and they have unique expectations for us. Also, before I share this list that I came up with, I want you to realize it's from the perspective of a teenager. So keep that in mind. And also realize at that time, my parents were not born-again believers, and the Word of God was not the authority in our home. So these were some of the expectations my parents had for me, kind of in the order of importance. They wanted us, me, my children, or my siblings, to do what they told us to do without complaining. They didn't want us to fight with each other. They wanted us to work hard. They wanted us to do well in our extracurricular stuff, sports for me, especially with my dad. He put a lot of emphasis on that. I felt like more than school. That's next on the list. They wanted us to do well in school. They didn't want us to get in trouble in school or in the community. They wanted us to be religious, to do all the things that we were supposed to do in church. And they wanted us to do well in our jobs, including our chores at home. Those were the expectations that I remember my parents had for me and my siblings growing up. And I share that with you this morning because as parents, we have expectations for our children, but if we have faith in Jesus Christ, then we are a child of God. And he also has expectations for us. And as we've been going through this Philippians study and in recent weeks, God's been sharing with us some of what his expectations are for us as his children. And we're going to continue that this morning. And this morning, as we continue our study of this letter of Philippians, we're going to see emphasis this morning on being a faithful child of God, faithful children of God. And this, again, is something that we've been doing over the recent week. So this isn't something new this morning, but it's going to be presented in a different way this morning. As we look at today's passage, we're going to be reminded of what God's will is for us as his children, what his expectations are for us. And with that, we're going to see a command that he has for us this morning. And if we follow that command and we are faithful children of God, we're going to see in today's passage that there's three things that should be reflected in our life. That's what God has for us this morning. Before we go and look at that passage, let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father in heaven, we thank you again, praise you. What a joy and blessing it is to be able to worship you this morning. What a joy it is to be here this morning. And Lord, I trust it's not an accident. Any of us are here. It's your desire that we would be here. It's your desire that we would be giving worth to you in the songs we sing and the prayers we lift up. And now, Lord, in the word that is proclaimed, that we would give worth to you as we humble ourselves before the word that you have for us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that will glorify you. That will magnify your name. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So since verse 127 in this study of Philippians, we've been in this section where God's been exhorting us, where he's been encouraging us. And some of the things that we've seen so far in this letter is we've been exhorted or encouraged or commanded to live a life worthy of the gospel. And as we've talked about that, imagine, live a life worthy of the gospel. That means live a life worthy of the Father sending his Son to die on a cross to save us from our sins. That we would live a life worthy in response to that gift. We've been commanded that. We've been commanded to be united with each other, to be humble before each other, to serve one another. We've been commanded to follow Jesus' example. We've been reminded that one day we are to live knowing that one day we're going to bow our knee before Jesus and confess him as Lord. And then last week we looked at how we are to obey God always with fear and trembling, with an attitude of seriousness in our commitment to the Lord. Those are things that we have covered in recent weeks as we've been exhorted or encouraged, and the exhortation and encouragement continues for us today. So this passage that we're going to look at this morning begins with, do all things without grumbling or questioning. That's the command for us this morning. And while that's very important, it's not the central portion of today's passage. So we're going to skip over verse 14 and we're going to come back to it. We're going to start with the first portion of verse 15 that says, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. And so again, the overarching theme in all of this section that we're in is that we would be faithful children of God, and that's being described in this passage with three adjectives being used. That we would be blameless, that we would be innocent, and that we would be without blemish. This doesn't mean that God is saying that you must be perfect, because we cannot be. We cannot be perfect this side of heaven. We will have times where we fail, but God, what he means in all of this is that our life should be so characterized by faithfulness to him that as others look at us, they won't be able to point to anything and say, that's wrong. That's not right in your life. If you have a gold ring that you're wearing, maybe a wedding ring or some other ring that you're wearing that's made out of gold, I don't know if you know this or not, but 1 carat of gold means one part of this ring would be gold, 23 parts of it would be some other metals. So if you have a 14-carat gold ring, it means 14 parts of it are gold, or 58% of it's gold, and 10 parts of it are some other metals, or 42% of it some other metals. 24-carat gold, people will say, is pure gold. But the reality is it still has impurities in it, a small percentage of impurities. And just like our lives, God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be righteous. He wants others to be able to look at our lives and see no impurities, even though there are going to be some impurities in our life. That's what we're being commanded here. And this ties back to what we looked at last week, where we were commanded to obey God with fear and trembling, with a sober-mindedness, with a seriousness, that we would follow Christ faithfully. And we were giving this command of God. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. There's a few verses in Scripture that specifically say this is God's will for your life. And one of those is we are to be sanctified. We're to be set apart. We're to be made holy unto the Lord. We are to grow in our holiness and become more and more Christ-like. That's God's will for our life. And as we discussed last week, our part in this sanctification process is that we would obey, that we would surrender our lives to the Lord. God's part is He's taken our bent and our deformed wills and He's conforming that to His will. He's working to change our wills. He's working to change our desires and what we want to comply with His will. He's also, through His power of the Holy Spirit, He's working to help us to be faithful. So God's doing a work. We're to do a work that's to combine to make us sanctified or more holy. God's doing this. And when that happens in our life, certain things happen. When we are faithful children of God, the first and foremost thing that happens is God is glorified. His name and everything about Him is magnified when we're faithful. And when we're faithful children of God, the second thing is we're blessed. And we've experienced that in our life. If you're a Christian here this morning, you've experienced the blessing of being a faithful child of God. You've experienced the peace that surpasses all understanding. You've experienced joy and love that only God can provide to us. You've experienced a contentment in your life because you have a purpose now and meaning. All of those things are from God as we are faithful to Him. But if you're here this morning, you've also experienced what happens when we're not faithful and what comes with that. We can lose our peace. We can lose our joy. We can become discouraged. We can become fearful. We can become troubled if we're not being faithful. The third thing that happens when we're faithful is those around us are blessed. So a lot of wonderful things happen when we are faithful children of God. So that's what the Lord has for us as a kind of the opening to our passage this morning. It's God's will that we would be faithful children of His, that we would be blameless, innocent children of God without blemish. And we can only be that way if we're obedient to God. And the command He has for us this morning is this: do all things without grumbling or questioning. This could be also translated, do all things without complaining or arguing. Complaining and arguing is, I believe, probably always rooted in selfishness, in self-centeredness, and in pride. It's going against what God's will is for our life. And it should have no place in the life of a believer. It should not be present in our marriages, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, on our sports teams, or anything else that we're a part of. Complaining should not be part of our life. Arguing should not be part of our life. I want to give you an example that is a negative example this morning. Maybe some of you have read the article this week that came out. It was entitled, "The Greatest Player That Never Was." Anybody read this? Okay. It's a Sports Illustrated article. It's about a guy named Joe Don Looney. A unique name. And you probably never heard of that name. And there's a good reason for that. Joe Don Looney was a fantastic football player in the 60s. He was fast, he was strong, he was determined, he was a tremendous running back. He was compared to Jimmy Brown at that time, who was considered the greatest running back of that time. Joe Don Looney was also a very selfish person that was characterized by complaining and arguing. After high school, he started his football at junior college. And after a year or two in junior college, he went to play for the Oklahoma Sooners and became their starting running back. And I think after the first year, he was named All-American. But within a month of the next year, he was kicked off the team because of his lousy attitude. But he was so gifted as a running back, even though he was kicked off his college team, he was drafted in the first round of the NFL draft the next year by the New York Giants. You know how many games he played for the New York Giants? None. They traded him even before the first preseason game because his attitude was so bad. He was traded to five different teams in his five-year NFL career. He told one of his head coaches, the head coach of the Detroit Lions, who asked him to send in a play for the team to run, he told his head coach, "If you need a messenger boy, call Western Union." That described his character, his attitude. He was very selfish. He was a grumbler and a complainer, and it took him nowhere in his life, even though he had tremendous gifts and skills. As followers of Jesus Christ, our lives should be just the opposite of this. There should be no grumbling or complaining in our life. That's what God's calls us to. And why is that? It's because our life should be characterized by thankfulness. That's another one of these commands that God says is his will for our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And does this mean that if I'm sick, or if somebody else is sick, or if I'm facing a struggle in my life financially, or I'm having a job problem, or a relationship problem, that I should give thanks for that? No. But it means that there are things going on in our life that are far greater than those circumstances that we're facing. There is far more blessing and joy in our life than the circumstances that we're facing, and those circumstances will pass quickly. The truth is that if we are grumbling and complaining, we're sinning against God. And we live in a world that is characterized by grumbling and complaining, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we can easily slip in to joining the world in that. And that is not to mark our life. And we need to remember, if we are grumbling and complaining, we are sinning against God. We see an early example of this in Scripture. The Israelites, after they were led out of Egypt, out of slavery, it was a very short time before they started grumbling and complaining, wishing they were back in Egypt. And Moses said to them, "You're not grumbling and complaining against me. You're grumbling and complaining against God. And it is sin." So we need to be very careful in the kind of attitudes that we have and what we say, because by God's grace, we have been very blessed. And as we looked at a few weeks ago, as Vince shared with us, we are to be a body of believers that are united, that love one another, that are serving one another. Can we do that if we're grumbling and complaining with each other? Can you imagine what those teams were like that Joe Don Looney played on? Grumbling and complaining destroys unity. And I'm very thankful to be able to say this morning, as I look out at this body of believers, we are not characterized by grumbling and complaining. By the grace of God, that's not who we are. We are characterized by unity and by love and by service towards one another, by being humbled towards each other. That is by God's grace, and we need to be careful that we continue to be faithful so that that doesn't become part of who we are, because Satan would love that to happen. He loves for that to take place, whether it's in a family or a church. He wants to divide. He wants to destroy, and we have to be on guard. We have to guard what we say. We cannot let grumbling and complaining be part of who we are. We have to guard our speech, not just not grumbling and complaining, but other verses like Proverbs 4:24, "Put away perversity from your mouth, keep corrupt talk from your lips," or Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." What a guiding passage that is. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for others, building others up according to their needs. That's a guiding passage for our life with regards to our speech. And if we are faithful in that, we will sound very different from the world around us. So if we're faithful children of God, then there should not be grumbling or complaining that's a part of our life. So if our lives are obedient to the Lord's, that we're surrendered to Him, we're doing His will, we're living as He wants us to live, we're being blameless and innocent children of God without blemish, then while not perfect, we're going to live as 24-karat gold people in a world that's more and more characterized by impurity, by darkness. And when our lives are lived as God wants us to live, we're going to be different from the world around us. And the rest of today's passage lists three of those differences. We're going to be characterized in three different ways if we are being faithful to God. So our passage again in 2:15 says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. So on the one hand, he's comparing us to children that are blameless and innocent and without blemish against the backdrop of a crooked and twisted generation, a world that's not living right, a world that's not living pure, a world that is living apart from God. And in God's word, we see this often described as darkness. So against the backdrop of this darkness, we're to stand out. And that's what the first thing is that should characterize us as faithful children of God. We should shine as lights in the world. That should characterize us. Do you know that on a dark night, you can see a candle from over a mile and a half away? Do you know there are lighthouses that you can see that light from more than 40 miles away? Light shines in the darkness. And that's what God wants for us, that we would shine out in the darkness. And we're able to do that because of this. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, then the light of the world lives within us. And we're able to take forth that light to others around us. Jesus also said this in Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We're called to be faithful children of God, and as we are faithful children of God, our light is to shine. The light of Jesus who lives in us, that is, shines brightly as we live faithfully, and that draws others to the Lord. That's the first thing that should characterize our life. The second thing, as we live faithfully as children of God, we're to hold fast to the word of life. What's the word of life? Well, it's this thing called the Bible. And we're to hold fast to this. We're to hold fast to this because this is the living word of God. There are verses like Romans 1:16-17. Paul wrote, you've heard many times, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to bring salvation to those who believe. If you're here this morning and you're saved, then it's through this word of God that came about. And God's word is saying here, hold fast to this word. But it doesn't just save us. It nourishes our lives as well. It allows us to live lives, as Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and have it to the full. This guides us in living a full life. We have verses like, I don't think I've got it in the PowerPoint, verses like 2 Timothy 3:16-17. For all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so the man and women of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God has for us. So this is like a life preserver that saves us from drowning in the sins of our life. But it's also like that rain that came down this week. And what did it do to the plants? What did it do to the fields that are around us? It just made them sprout up and grow and flourish. And that's what God's word does for us as well. So we're to hold out, or we're to hold fast to the word of life. But some of your translations, if you have an NIV or some other translations, it also says in those translations that you are to hold out the word of life. So what is it? Is it hold fast or is it to hold out? Yes, both. The Greek can be translated either way, and there is clear application in this passage and in God's word that both are to apply. As faithful children of God, we've got to hold fast to this word. We've got to be obedient to it. And as we are obedient to it, we shine as lights, like a light on a dark night attracts bugs. We should attract others through our faithful living the word of God. And when that happens, we're able to hold out the word of life. So we hold fast so that we can hold out. That should characterize our lives as faithful children of God. And then third and finally, we're to be characterized by being glad and rejoicing. And we see that in the last part of today's passage as Paul writes, "So that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." So what is Paul saying in all of this as he's writing? He's saying, and again, we need to remember, where's Paul at when he writes this? He's in prison. So he's writing to the Philippians from prison, and he's essentially saying here, I'm in prison. I don't know what my future is going to hold. I don't know if I'm going to be condemned to death. I don't know if I'm going to be set free and go on serving the Lord, but it doesn't matter. I've had the privilege of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and I continue to have that privilege in prison, and I'll have that prison privilege until the day I die. And so whatever happens, I'm good with this. I can be glad and rejoice no matter what is going on in my life. And that's too what should characterize us as followers of Jesus Christ. We should be not only characterized by thanksgiving, but by gladness and rejoicing as we live faithfully the ways the Lord wants us to. And I want to come back to what I mentioned earlier. If we got things going on in our life that are health problems or job struggles or conflicts in relationships with others or some other difficulty in our life, the Word of God describes that as light and momentary troubles. And I know those things don't feel that way. If you're going through some kind of battle right now in your life, it doesn't feel like a light and momentary struggle. But the truth, according to God's word, is it is in the overall scheme of God's plan. In the overall time of eternity, this, what we're going through now, the struggle we're going through now, will pass. And what lies ahead is going to be so much better. And so God's word is telling us no matter what we're facing in life right now, and that comes from 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." What we're going through right now will pass, and what lies ahead is paradise with God for all of eternity. And so we're able to, no matter what situation we find ourselves, we're able to have a level of gladness and rejoicing. Not because of the circumstances we're facing, but because of what's greater than those circumstances, because of the truth of the gospel, that Jesus died to save us from our sins, to live for all of eternity with God. And we can always rejoice and be glad in that. So I just want to take our passage today and just summarize it. We started with this whole idea of being blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of this crooked and twisted generation. That's what God's will is for us, that we would be faithful children of God. In order to be faithful children of God, we must be obedient to his commands. And the one he gave us today, do all things without grumbling or questioning. So if we are able to be obedient, not grumble or question, do the other things of God, live as faithful children of God, then we should be characterized by three things. We should be characterized by shining as lights in the world. We should be characterized by holding fast or out the word of life. And we should be characterized by gladness and rejoicing. And I just want to close with this. I think every one of us wants to have a life in which we're living with gladness and rejoicing. I think all of us want to hold fast and hold out the word of life. I think all of us want to shine as lights in a dark world. We want to be faithful children to God, but we can't be characterized by those things unless we are faithful children of God. There's, from among us, maybe all of us to some extent, more than others, there's area of our life where we're not being faithful. And it's hindering our walk with the Lord. It's hindering our brightness for him. It's hindering our ability to hold out the word of God. It's hindering our ability to be glad and rejoice. And so I want to close this morning with just a time, a couple minutes of silence. And I want to ask each one of us to go to the Lord and ask him to show us our hearts and where there may be things in our life that we're not being obedient to God. And it may not have anything to do with grumbling and complaining. It may be some other command that God's given us that we're not doing. It may be something we're doing we shouldn't do. I want to ask all of us to just go before the Lord right now. Close your eyes, bow your heads, ask the Lord if there's anything in your life that's not aligned with his will. And as the Lord has revealed what those things might be for each one of us, let's ask the Lord for his forgiveness for those sins against him. Let's ask the Lord for his help, that he would continue to help bend our wills to his and continue to give us the power to be faithful. Continue to help us to be obedient children of his. That we would have a seriousness about our walk in following Jesus. Lord, we continue to thank you for the love you have for our lives. Love that saves us and love that spurs us on to grow in our faith, to grow in our obedience to you, to grow in our holiness, that we might glorify and honor you, that we might be blessed, and so might the world around us. We thank you for all of that, Lord, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.